it's all, the fruit of the Spirit is exactly what it says. It comes as a fruit of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. It doesn't just miraculously grow. My orange tree, beautiful as it looks at the moment, is not just going to miraculously grow oranges if I don't look after it and I don't nurture it and I don't give it what it needs. And the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is a bit like that. We need to nurture the fruit of God in our lives. We need to be dedicated to fertilizing it and, you know, reading our word. And we talked a little bit about that last week. So we need to do something with it. We need to make an effort about putting the fruit into practice and about developing it in the right way and then using it in the right way when it arrives. And so last week we looked at love, joy, and peace. And remember, we've been thinking about Galatians 5:23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Galatians 5:23. And so last week we looked at love, joy, and peace. And we looked at how we could put those into practice in our lives, and we asked some questions about who we needed to love more. We talked about what attitudes we needed to change and how we could be thankful to God and change the perspective so that we would have the peace of God ruling in our lives. And so today we get, well, I'm not sure that's my personal favourite, perhaps my personal most difficult one, patience. Yay! Patience, kindness, and goodness. I was laughing with Louise last night and Pam as we went to life group about things. I was talking on patience this morning. I better practice it on the road on the way to life group, and so that I had a clear conscience to be able to speak with patience this morning. I did fairly well, I just have to say. Did quite well. But patience is one of those things that we hear a lot about, isn't it? We hear a lot about patience. There's this old little rhyme, and depending whether you're male or female, it changes. But there's that one that says, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can. Seldom found in women and never in a man. Or if you're a man, it's never found in women and seldom in a man. So depending on what way you want to look at it, it's actually quite true though, isn't it? It actually says that patience is something that we struggle with. And patience is something that we have to work on. And actually, can I say that my husband is quite patient because he lives with me, so he has to be. But he is a very patient person. But what is patience? Because we've all experienced those times, haven't we, when we've been in a hurry? Okay, who has ever been caught in a queue and has gone, oh, I so enjoy being caught in a queue. I now have time to wait. Someone up the back obviously has more patience than me. We've all been caught in queues and we've all gone, I wish this queue would hurry up. Who's ever ducked? Aldi is the worst. Who's ever ducked into Aldi to buy one thing? Being caught in a queue of people. It can be frustrating at times, but we have to learn just to wait. We just be patient. And so patience is something that we practice. Patience is not always easy, but it is always worthwhile. And now my mum used to say when I was little, good things come to those who wait. Good things come to those who wait. And I quite like it. I didn't necessarily at the time, but I quite like the idea of that good things come to those who wait. See, if we can have patience and if we can wait, we want to teach our kids to learn patience and to wait. We even teach our animals to wait, you know, and then we think we can go about wanting everything yesterday. We want to teach people to wait, and we know that the delayed gratification, people who can do that well, do best in life. And so it's something waiting and being patient about things is really important. But I think we struggle with it, and I think we especially struggle with it when it comes to God, because we want things to have happened yesterday. We want things in our life to be different. We want the changes that we would like to see happen, we would like them to have happened yesterday. Unfortunately, the things in our life rely on other people, and other people don't always cooperate. Have you ever noticed that other people don't always cooperate with your plans? And what God is actually wanting us to do is learn to be patient and wait for his purposes to come about. And sometimes that is really hard and really, really, really frustrating. And so I've come up with a little bit of a, I guess you would call it just a little bit of a definition. It is the Jill Whalen definition, but you have it there with you. It's patience. And I believe patience is the ability to wait with grace. The ability to wait with grace. Whether you're standing in the queue at the supermarket and you're feeling frustrated, or whether you're waiting for God to do something miraculous in your life, patience is the ability to wait for it with grace, with an attitude of grace, with an attitude of graciousness. So what kind of example are we to those around us? Maybe you could write this down as a question. What kind of example am I to the people around me when it comes to patience? Because my experience is that we want people to be patient with us, and sometimes we don't want to be patient with them. So what kind of example are we? Are we living what we say? Are we living what we want other people to behave like toward us? And the Bible tells me that at the right time, God sent his son. At the right time. And I think that's really important when we're trying to understand the idea of patience and growing patience in our life, is understanding that at the right time. Unfortunately, my time isn't God's time. I thought the right time might have been yesterday, and he says, actually, no, it's a little while yet. And I heard a speaker many, many years ago say, when God says he's going to do something quickly, it usually means in about the next 10 years. and soon is even longer. Yeah. And we might laugh about that, but how often do you think, oh gosh, it's ages? But then when you look back, you actually, that last 10 years went really quickly. It's actually gone. And it's because some of the stuff that we struggle with is because God's time is so different to ours. His timing is just so different. And we want everything that is happening, this little smidgen of time that we exist in, and we don't see it in the sense of eternity. You know, God tells us that in Peter. Peter says that God was patient with us, 2 Peter 3:15. He is patient with us because he wants us to get on with the work of reaching people for his kingdom. So God is really patient with us. So let's determine that we will wait patiently while God fulfills his promises, because God knows exactly what is best for us. God knows exactly what is best for us. Sometimes we find his timing difficult. I do, and I would think that other people probably do as well. But it's always right. It may not be what we like, but it's always right. So what are you waiting for? What promises has God given you that you're waiting for him to fulfill? Maybe write that down as a question and go home and think about, what are the promises that God has given me? What are the things that I'm still waiting for? How am I going to wait for those things? How am I going to wait? What situation do you need answers for? We prayed for some of them this morning. God says that in his time, he'll bring it about. And actually, suddenly, when we least expect it, it usually happens. So patience requires, what are you waiting for? What promises has God given you that you're waiting for him to fulfill? And what situation do you need answers for? Yeah. Patience requires an attitude of endurance. And Paul prayed for the Colossians. In Colossians 1, we have this great prayer. And he prays that they would be strengthened with God's power so that they will have all the endurance and patience they need. See, life is about having endurance and patience. That's why patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's about God working in us, and our life is about that. This attitude of endurance is really, really hard. And I think we need to encourage one another as we wait. Encourage each other when times are tough. Love one another, encourage one another. God will bring it about, but let's encourage one another. You know, God says he'll help us to endure, but let's encourage one another. Romans 15, 1 to 5 is really cool. Let me just read it. I wanted to read the whole, it's a few verses, but I just wanted to read it because I think it really helps us get a grasp on how we're to wait and what we're to do while we're waiting. Paul's been talking about the dangers of criticizing other people, but then he says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things. We must not just please ourselves." Well, there's a good idea. "We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, 'The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me.' Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled." That's why we encourage you girls to read your Bible. That's why, because it actually says that the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we're waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. So when we're waiting patiently, when we're trying to develop patience, let's focus on what the Word of God says. Let's think about what God says in these situations, because that gives us hope and encouragement. And when we're trying to be patient, we all need a lot of encouragement. We all need encouragement. So let's just focus on what the scriptures say. Waiting for something, let God help you be patient. Allow God's word to speak to you and find patience in the word of God. And in the knowledge that God's timing is always right. So patience. Patience is the first one I want to talk about today. The second one is kindness. And I have just a little clip here from John Maxwell.
Michelle Ott from Fridley, Minnesota, is the director of operations, said, on Minute with Maxwell, John, would you discuss the word kindness? It reminds me of a conversation I was having with a wonderful friend, Linda Kaplan Thaler, who's a tremendous marketing lady out of New York City, very creative. She's the one who put the duck in Aflac, okay? That's how good she is. She has an expression that I love, simple expression. And it deals really, Michelle, with this word kindness. Her expression is, be nice. I've heard her say often, many, many times, to people, just be nice. In your business transactions, just be nice. In your casual relationships, be nice. Just be nice. And what she says is what I believe. Kindness, niceness, goes a long way. And when people are deciding about friendships, relationships, business deals, I think they migrate to kindness.
Just be nice. I really shouldn't have to say anything else, should I? Just be nice. You would be surprised the number of relationships that get ruined just because people can't be nice and they can't show kindness. And I think that's really, really sad. Being nice is not about being ooey gooey all the time. It is about treating people in an appropriate manner. Being kind to people is helping people and having compassion on people, having mercy on people, and it's about just being kind and nice. Ephesians 4:32 says, get rid of malice, and it says a few other things, and then it says, instead, be kind to each other, forgiving, and then it goes on with a list of some other things. I like that. It's instead of being this way, instead of being horrible and nasty, be kind. We don't have to be horrible and nasty. We can just be kind. It says, do not reject the marvelous message of God's great kindness. At just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. God was kind to us. God has been very, very kind to us. So kindness is something that we display in the way we behave toward other people, in the way we speak, and it comes from what's going on in our heart. It comes as we develop a kind spirit in our heart. 2 Timothy 2:24 is aimed, a lot of this is aimed at leaders, but it says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. So if we're going to serve God, it says we mustn't quarrel. That doesn't mean we can never have a disagreement with someone. But what it's saying is that we should be kind. We should be treating people with kindness. We can still disagree with someone and be kind. Now, I know that's a challenge sometimes, because who gets fired up when they disagree with people? Yeah, some of us do. Some of us get fired up. Some of us push it down and just make it all internal. But we just need to be kind, not thinking nasty thoughts about people. Just be kind. See, this is the thing that I think most of us find hard, that actually we think people should have to be nice to deserve kindness, and they don't. See, there is nothing in the Bible that says only be kind to people that are kind to you. I would like it if it said that, because it'd make my life easier. But it doesn't say that. Probably wouldn't leave me with many people around, because sooner or later someone would say something unkind. But it says be kind. It doesn't say be kind only if someone is kind to you. It says be kind. Speak nicely to people. John Maxwell says it all. He says, just be nice. Jesus displayed kindness towards people. I didn't look them up because there's just too many of them. But how often does it say Jesus has compassion on someone? Jesus cared about someone. Jesus was kind. There was a woman who came and he wept at the feet of Jesus, and she did not deserve kindness as far as the Pharisees felt. She was a prostitute in the town. She was not living the way that the Jews thought she should live. And she came and she wept at Jesus' feet. She washed his feet with her hair and she just wept and wept. She poured perfume all over his feet. In fact, there's a couple of different women who came and neither of them deserved kindness. And Jesus showed them kindness. Jesus said, what you've done will be remembered. See, he was kind. He probably had every right to remove himself from that situation because as a rabbi, people kind of didn't think he should associate with those kinds of people, but he didn't. He chose to be kind. He chose to be nice. He chose to have compassion. And that's the kind of thing that we have to do. See, kindness isn't about being nice when someone is nice to us. Kindness comes in under where Jesus says, treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. Be kind, not because another person is kind to you, but because you have the opportunity of being kind to them regardless of what their behaviour is. That's hard. I don't say that these things are easy, girls. They're hard sometimes, really hard. But God says, allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life, to bring out these things in your life. Kindness is best shown by practicing it. So unless we display it, we're not going to see it. I can feel kind. I can have an attitude of kindness. But unless I do something about it, people don't receive it. And so part of being kind, part of this kindness thing is to display it. And so I ask ourselves a question. See, am I kind when I interact with people? Am I kind or am I narky? Am I nice or am I horrible? And I want us to ask ourselves a question. How can I display kindness to another person? How can I do that? What's a practical way that I personally can show kindness to another person? Maybe there's someone particularly in your life that you need to show kindness to. And maybe you don't feel particularly kind-hearted toward them. But maybe that act of kindness will be the thing that will help you to actually develop a sense of kindness. And the other thing I would like to ask us, we hear random acts of kindness. I'd like to ask us, what random act of kindness can we do this week? What random act of kindness can I do this week? Girls, I'm not talking about helping the little old lady across the road when she doesn't want to go across the road. I'm talking about a random act of kindness for someone. What can you do? I was at Hillsong a few years ago, feeling really frustrated, really tired, really down, waiting in a queue, trying to wait patiently, doing what I needed to do, and I really felt horrible. And this guy in front of me, when the guy went to give him change, he gave it back and he said, no, pay for the lady's coffee behind. I didn't know him at all. He paid for my coffee. That cost him like $3, I think. But that one random act of kindness made a whole difference to my day. Huge difference to my day. It raised my spirit. I began to understand that God loves me. And do you know what? It was one little act of kindness. $3 was all that he spent. And it changed my day and my life forever. One random act of kindness. I will never forget that. See, you may be the one person who has the opportunity to change someone else's day by one act of kindness. It must be the morning for getting emotional, girls. But one act of kindness. I know so many of you, and I know that so many of you are kind and generous. And I really appreciate that because it does make such a difference. You know, the girls that come this morning and just set up, that come and practice, just doing that makes a difference for everybody. And it's an act of kindness. And I really, really appreciate it. So what random act of kindness can we do this week? And maybe you and a few friends would like to get together and do something for somebody else. And it'd be great if it was somebody outside of church. It'd be great if you can do it for someone within the church as well. I'm not saying you can't. But what random person that you have never seen out there could you do something nice for? That might just make their day. Might just change their attitude to life. you hear stories of people who suddenly someone helps them and it actually literally saves their life. What an opportunity we have to do that. It's just an act of kindness. And the third thing I want to talk about this morning is goodness. And goodness and kindness are really closely related, aren't they? They're really closely related. But Romans 14:17, we read this last week actually. It says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." See, goodness is something that flows out of the Spirit of God within us. And goodness is, it's not just righteousness, but it's basically living our lives, I guess we could call it, with moral excellence. Now, girls, I know we're not perfect and I know we struggle, but it's about making decisions to be good, to live well in situations. It's not the same as kindness, but, you know, these things develop together. And as we understand goodness and doing good, we can display kindness as well. And I think it's really, really exciting. See, God makes us right with Him. Nothing you do or say can change the position that you have in the family of God as His child. You are righteous because you are part of God's family. And it doesn't matter whether you're struggling in life or not. God says, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And because of that, you have right standing with me. Because of that, you are righteous. And so when we're talking about goodness and exercising, we're not talking about making a way that we might somehow do better and get saved, but we're talking about just living a life that leads to doing good things, that comes out of a goodness within, that comes out of making choices to live the way God wants us to make, to live. Luke 6, 43, 45, and I've just given you the last little bit of this to put in your book, but it says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by the kind of fruit it produces. Figs never grow on thorn bushes or grapes on bramble bushes. A good person produces good deeds from a good heart. An evil person produces evil deeds from an evil heart. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I find that a really scary bit of scripture, because it really, doesn't that just place the onus back on us to be making sure that we're doing the right things in our life? I talked about the lemon tree that we have at the front of our place, and my determination is to make it into a really good tree. And at the moment, it has one pathetic little piece of fruit on it that's misshapen, and the leaves are misshapen because it's not producing like it should, because it's not getting the care that it needs. And so we need to make some changes about how we look after that tree. And so, girls, can I encourage you that maybe you need to make some changes about the way you're looking after yourself? What are you doing in your life? I hope this is not too heavy this morning, girls. I just want us to think about some things about how we can really become who God's called us to be and allow these fruits in our life. And can I just say, if you've had stuff happen in the past that hasn't been great, God does not condemn you for it, because He's forgiven you and it's gone. And so it's a matter of saying, today I'm going to make a decision to live the way God wants me to live. So the question is, if so much of what comes from within affects what happens without, and if the Spirit of God grows within us, are we giving the Spirit of God room to move in our life? Are we allowing stuff in our life that we shouldn't, and is that hampering the work of the Spirit of God in our life? So are you giving the Holy Spirit room in your heart to grow kindness and to grow goodness? It's really important to ask ourselves a question. What are we reading? What are we watching? What are we permitting into our life? This doesn't mean we can't, you know, read all sorts of different stuff. There's lots of really great stuff out there. It was interesting last night at Life Group to hear what some of our girls have been reading. Really interesting books. And at the moment, I'm reading a book on Richard III, which is actually really quite interesting as well. And so I'm not saying we can't ever read anything else. But what I'm saying is just be careful about what you read. Weigh it when you're reading it. And if it's not appropriate, maybe put it down. If you're watching something on the TV, weigh it. What message is it giving you? What things is it saying will do? That doesn't mean you shouldn't ever watch them. But weigh it. Maybe turn it off occasionally. Change what you're doing if you need to. Music is an area that is really problematic, I think, for our society, because it's an area where sometimes it's really hard to hear what the lyrics are. And sometimes they're really horrible. And maybe there's some music we shouldn't be listening to. But a lot of it is fantastic. So I'm not saying that you have to go and burn your records. I'm not saying you have to go and burn all your books, because actually some of them are really, really good. And some of the music that people listen to is fantastic. But what I'm saying is just be careful. Weigh it. Think about it. What are you allowing in? And then we can say, well, if we're allowing good stuff in, then good stuff will come out. See, Romans 12:9, and this is, I actually read this verse last week. It's the one that says, really love each other. And this is how you can kind of see how all of these things just connect together. Because it says, don't just pretend to love each other, really love each other. And then it says, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. See, hold tightly to what is good. Wrong stuff is there and it happens, but you don't, you just, yeah, when it says hate it, you just remove it from you. I'm not going to get involved in that stuff, but hold tightly to what is good. See, the fruit of the Spirit, all this stuff grows together. And so, like, we've separated them out, but really, they're all part of the same thing. It's like the segments of an orange. They're all part of the orange. They're all a separate segment, but they're all part of the whole orange. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is like in our lives. So goodness in our lives is about having God's Spirit in our lives. It's about what's right in our lives, and it's about getting rid of what isn't right and then allowing the goodness that is within to display itself in our action toward others. Allowing the goodness that is within to come out and to display itself in actions toward others. Philippians 1:6, I love this because it just gives us such hope, especially when we're struggling. It says, God will complete the good work you began in you. You see, we do some stuff, but it's God who's working. Rach said it before. God wants to bring and work through us the stuff that he's doing in our lives. And he will bring to completion that which he started. I love that because there's a whole lot of stuff in my life. And I go, God, where's it going? And he says, I'm going to bring it to completion. I'm going to make it happen. You know, do what you know to do. Follow my word. Obey me. Allow the Spirit to reign in your life. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life. But God in all of that says, I will complete the good work that I began in you. So patience, kindness, goodness. Let's, like Galatians 6:9, not get tired of doing what is good. Let's not get tired of putting these things into our lives. Let's just keep doing it, because you know there's a really great promise that says that we will reap a reward if we just keep on doing the things that God's called us to do. So as we finish tonight, let's just remember today that it's God who completes the work, and we just keep doing what we know to do, and he'll work through us, and there will be a harvest of righteousness at the end of that. So this morning, girls, let's make a decision to display patience in our lives. Let's make a decision to show kindness and goodness to other people. Because I believe that God has a really, really great future for each and every one of us. And so I want to remind us of these things so that we can continue to grow and that we can begin to walk the way that God's called us to walk. So why don't we just rise to our feet? If you struggle in any of these areas, and I know I do, I struggle with the patience thing all the time. Honestly, I do. Just ask my kids. Just ask Brian. I struggle with some of this stuff. I stand here this morning and I say, I am still working on these things as much as anybody else is. But let's determine to make an effort and allow the Spirit of God. And this morning, if you're struggling in any of these areas or if you just want to be more open to God, why don't you just raise your hand this morning and just say, God, I just want more of you in my life. I want your Spirit to work in my life in these areas. Yeah, Father, you see the hands, Lord God. And Father, you see the women who just so desire to have more of you in their lives. And I thank you for every single woman that is here this morning, Lord God. I pray, Father, that the fruit of the Spirit would be really, really evident in their lives, Lord God. And Father, especially as we've been talking about patience, kindness and goodness this morning, I ask, Father, that we would be women who are patient and we wait graciously. That we would be women who are kind to one another, who are nice to one another, who speak nicely to each other, who speak nicely to other people, Lord God. Father, I pray that we will be women who live out of the goodness that you have placed in our lives, Lord God. And that we will be women who hold tightly to what is good and have that just flowing through our life, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you would just, as you pour your spirit out upon the women this morning, that, Lord, these things will grow in abundance in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.